Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, by way of telephone, Dr. Michael Brown, is red hot for the Messiah. The reason I'm interviewing him are two reasons. Number one, God wants him on right now and wants you. This is a divine appointment for you. Number two, we have just come out with the new edition of my book that God told me to write many years ago. Literally, God came to me in a dream. And he said more Jewish people would come to know him through this book than anything I'd ever done. Today, the book is in over a half a dozen languages, over 850,000 in print, more as we speak, being distributed in multiple countries, one of the top books in Hebrew, being distributed in Israel. This is God's time to reach Jewish people. And the church is more enamored with Jewish roots, more enamored with rabbis. In fact, I was talking to Dr. Michael Brown, and his chapter is in this book, and he actually deals with what we'll be discussing today. But Mike, we've been friends for a long time, and I have to tell you, I watch on Christian TV Orthodox rabbis and the hosts of these Christian TV shows say, "This is my rabbi." How could an Orthodox rabbi be a rabbi for a Jewish believer in Jesus? It's meshuggah. That's a Hebrew word for crazy. Why are we so enamored with the Judaism rather than the Jewish people in the scriptures?
You know, Sid, it really is a very dangerous trend and tendency. On the one hand, in times past in church history, there was terrible anti-Semitism. There was Jew hatred in the name of Jesus. There was the rejection of anything Jewish by many that call themselves followers of Jesus. Well, the pendulum swung now right across the middle, all the way to the other extreme side, where there's almost a veneration for Jewish tradition. There's this fascination. So a word that God gave me back in 1984 about the pull of rabbinic Judaism was simply this, that the whole Jewish temptation is in the soul realm. It will fascinate, stimulate, complicate, suffocate. So be on your guard. I remember we talked about that.
But let me add one more thing. Whereas that is true, it is on the soul realm. There is a religious spirit connected with it also.
Oh, there absolutely is. And what happens is, instead of Yeshua being preeminent, instead of Jesus being the central focus, instead of lifting him up and living in the Spirit being central, it's Jewishness that becomes central. It's Jewish roots and Jewish background. But the problem with that is that it goes beyond recovering the Jewish roots of the faith in a legitimate way. And what happens is it becomes a fascination with rabbinic tradition. And Sid, rabbinic tradition, by and large, has a different origin. I believe rabbinic Judaism is the greatest and most beautiful religion ever made by man, but it's different than the biblical faith. It is, and the traditions that have developed through the centuries have been developed by those that, by and large, were the ones that rejected Yeshua or that ignored Yeshua when he came and have built on a different foundation. It really is a very different religion.
For those that this is brand new to, give us a few facts about this to establish what you're saying.
Okay, we all know that if you just read the Hebrew Scriptures, what Christians call the Old Testament, there are certain questions. Okay, you had death penalty for things back then. How does that apply now? So followers of Yeshua, through the New Covenant, see that he brought about certain changes, that he said, okay, let me bring to fulfillment what's written and take it to another level. Well, what do rabbinic Jews do? How come they don't practice the death penalty for, say, breaking the Sabbath? How come they're not stoning rebellious 13- and 14-year-olds? Well, traditional Jews believe this. God gave Moses a written law on Mount Sinai. That's the five books of Moses that we have. God gave Moses a written law on Mount Sinai, but God also gave Moses an oral law, an unwritten law, which Moses then passed on to Joshua, Joshua to the elders to the prophets, etc. And it continues to be passed down through the rabbinic traditions and rabbinic study to this very day. And what happens is, according to a rabbinic Jew, you cannot understand the written scriptures. You cannot understand the word of God without the oral traditions. And if the oral traditions interpret the written word differently, then that's how you have to interpret it. Doesn't matter if the slant is completely contrary to the clear grammatical meaning of the written text. No, what the rabbinic authorities say it is, it is. And if you remember, after Jesus finished his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds are amazed because he taught with authority, not like one of the religious leaders. In other words, he didn't say, I heard this from so-and-so who heard it from so-and-so who heard it from so-and-so, going all the way back to Moses. No, he said, I tell you, and he said it with divine authority. There is a contrast in authority, in spirit, in attitude, and even in terms of how we interpret the text. And if we're going to go the way of rabbinic tradition, we've got to go all the way, which means submitting to the rabbinic authorities, and they will tell you that Jesus Yeshua is not the Messiah.
Mike, there is a quote in your book, I guess it comes from the Talmud, that literally gives authority to the rabbis on earth over the Bible, over God. Can you quote that to me?
Surely. There's a famous account in the Talmud where there's a dispute between one of the rabbis, Rabbi Eliezer, and the other rabbis. He brings all these miraculous proofs to back up his position, and the other rabbis say, we don't rely on miracles. Finally, a voice from heaven says, the law is according to him. And then another rabbi quotes the words, well, it's not in heaven, and they deduce from that, also taking Exodus 23:2, the last words of it, and completely twisting it on its head, giving the opposite meaning, that the majority rules. In other words, if the majority of the rabbis say this is the interpretation, then this is the interpretation. It would just be like this. The Supreme Court of America may pass an unrighteous law, but that becomes the law of the land. Well, that's one thing on human terms. But you cannot now overthrow God and his word based on the majority rule. Throughout our history, the majority rule has often been wrong in Jewish history, in biblical history, and yet it's laid out plainly in the Talmud that it's no longer in heaven that you follow the majority, whereas the text is actually saying don't follow the majority to do wrong. The words follow the majority are pulled out of context and quoted to actually overthrow the voice of God. And in the Talmudic account, God laughs and says, my sons have defeated me. I don't think it's something to laugh at.
Well, wasn't what we know as rabbinical Judaism, a great deal of it, shaped to put a picket fence around Jewish people so we would not know that Jesus is our Messiah?
Well, basically, if you just think of two tracks that are next to each other, and then they start going in different directions, well, the directions are so separate that Jesus doesn't even come into play anymore. In other words, when people say, well, why don't more religious Jews believe in Jesus? Well, he's not an option. He's not studied. He's not considered. There's an entirely different system that's been built outside of him, away from him. What about the prophetic authority of the Messiah? No, we have the traditions. What about the miracles of the Messiah? No, we have the traditions. What about the plain sense of the Word of God? No, we have our traditions. And you see that these tracks are in different directions, and there's no way to cross from one to the other without breaking free from the binding rabbinic traditions.
Well, you know, I see so many things going on because this is the set time to favor Zion. God is once again extending his mercy on Jewish people, and the people he has created to share the good news with Jewish people are Gentile Christians, because Romans 11:11 says salvation has come to the Gentile to provoke the Jew to jealousy, and that's why I believe Satan is throwing all these things down, you know, in the path of Christians, especially being more enamored with Jewish roots than sharing the Messiah with Jewish people. But this is again why this book is out. I urge you, I urge everyone that's hearing my voice to get the book They Thought for Themselves. The first thing you do is you read it for yourself. You will be fascinated with this. And as a matter of fact, if you're not a believer in Jesus and you're not Jewish, there is enough information in this book that it'll kind of sneak up on you. It will make you a believer in Jesus. And then if you're Jewish, Everything is there. And if you're Christian, you'll begin to understand Jewish people. This is the time to understand Jewish people. We have Jewish people from an Orthodox background to Jewish people from an atheistic background, Israelis, Jewish people from other countries, a Holocaust survivor, a multimillionaire, a PhD, a concert pianist. Mike, one fact why Jesus is the Jewish Messiah that comes to mind.
Oh, one fact out of 10,000 facts. There were certain things that the Messiah had to do before the Second Temple was destroyed in the year 70, namely put an end to sin and bring the glory of God to the temple there, bring everlasting atonement to sin, establish righteousness, and bring the glory of God to that temple. Messiah did it. Jesus did it before the temple was destroyed in the year 70. There's no other possibility, no other candidate of anyone else that can do it after that. Either he's the Messiah or we have no Messiah.
You know, you wrote your PhD on healing and on especially Isaiah 53. One fact about healing from Isaiah 53 that you found out by working on your PhD.
Well, that the prophets had a holistic view of healing. It was spirit, soul, body. And that through the work of the Messiah, Uvachavarato Nir Palanu, and at the cost of his wounds, there is healing for us. That means healing of the whole person, inside, outside, by the wounds of the Messiah. It's holistic. It wasn't just physical. It wasn't just spiritual. It's a deeper vision that the prophets had. The whole man, wholly healed. That's what the Messiah came to bring.
Okay. You have heard Dr. Michael Brown. He is one of 10 people in this book, Jewish people from every walk of life that have come to the conclusion that Jesus, in fact, is our Jewish Messiah. Now, one of the Jewish people in this book is myself, and I was involved deeply in the New Age, and God is so gracious. He revealed himself to me in a spectacular fashion. And I believe God is revealing himself to Jewish people in a spectacular fashion all over the world. And this is all over the world, this book is in demand. But in the United States, it's just getting started. Why? This is God's moment of mercy on Jewish people in the United States. If you just read the headlines in the newspaper, you see the world is getting more and more anti-Semitic. The world is getting just like Zechariah prophesies, all nations will turn against Jerusalem to battle in the last days. The only hope a Jewish person has, the only hope the church has, the only hope for the return of Jesus. Jesus said, I will not return until the Jewish people say, blessed it is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Get this book. It's available for a donation of $15. The title is They Thought for Themselves. Read it, and then God himself will have a Jewish person cross your path, and you'll be able to hand this to that Jewish person, as I just did yesterday. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.